From the Squamish Chief.
This is the Squamish Sound. I'm Keely Bartlett.
And I'm Stephen Chua. This is the 16th episode of our weekly podcast.
You'll hear the story behind the story as we take you into the newsroom. We'll talk about what did and didn't get into the newspaper this week.
On the show today, we're covering Britannia Mine Goes Boom and how sound students are put to the test at the Junior Fire Academy. We're also covering Jamie Lynn Horth's MMA debut with TKO and, of course, our editor's pick. First off,
fire in the hole! Welcome to Britannia.
Britannia Mine has started up a new exhibit called, appropriately, Boom.
Mm-hmm.
Keely was over in to check out the behind the scenes of what was going on in that exhibit.
All right. So we were really lucky. They gave us a sneak preview of what the tour is going to be like. So the tour is actually opening June 1st, but we were one of the first few people outside of the mine to see what it was all about.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, they spent years trying to develop this. It's been in the works for a while. They poured millions of dollars into it, and they had people who have worked on different kind of roller coasters and rides from Disney, people from Cirque du Soleil. So it sets the bar pretty high, and it is quite the production. So what you see when you go in is there is this tour guide, but not your average Britannia Mine tour guide.
This is for
This is a pre-recorded little video tour guide who is guiding you through the different layers of that mine museum. And it's a full-on production. There are these full special effects.
Here comes the ore train.
There are sparks, smoke. You don't smell the smoke, though, which is pretty good. They keep it away from where the viewers are. But there was a point where they talked about this smell that the production made that was, I think, it smelled like essential oils. It was really good smelling.
Essential
but what
oils.
They did is they actually, like, released very gently this smell of what it would have smelled like when when the mine was operational. Like, it's
really
a full sensory thing.
Huh.
And you can feel there were certain parts where they boot it up, they make it sound and look and feel like what it would have been like, and you can feel the rumbling in your seat.
Wow.
Yeah, and so it was, full sensory. It's about a 13-minute long show. But yeah, so after I watched the show, we spoke with the operations manager, Darren Johnston, about what he had to say.
What did you think the first time you saw it?
I was very affected. I'm actually a Britannia resident, not a long-term Britannia resident, but I've talked with enough long-term residents, and they are very emotionally affected by the show. It was the mill shutting down, and it was an emotional reaction to just not seeing it, hearing it, and feeling it alive anymore. And we look forward to the local residents' reaction when they do come to this show, and they are out on site when they hear this show going. I can hear this show operating from my driveway in Britannia, so we are really looking forward to their reaction. We hope it's positive. It'll be a bit of a switch for them. It's been quiet for so long, but the mill's coming back to life now.
Everybody okay?
All right, so that was about it for Britannia. There was another really interesting thing that was happening over this weekend. Big weekend in terms of Squamish events. The Junior Fire Academy was put to the test with Squamish Fire Rescue.
Mm-hmm. So basically, every year, this is the fifth year that they've held this, where students from House Sound Secondary get to do the training of what it would be like to be a recruit. And they were telling me while I was there that because they actually get to deal with scenarios using real fire, that it takes months for actual recruits to get to that point where they're near real fire. So it's kind of an accelerated thing to get kids interested in what's available for them to volunteer with, for them to work with. And they said that it's a lot of team building skills. Of course, they're also trying to recruit. And so far in this 5-year program that they've had, they've gotten one recruit, and he is starting soon.
Okay, well, yeah. Good for him.
So we've got a clip for you from what the day was like with that training. We tagged along for the last day of their training. So they'd gone through all of the safety measures and how to actually approach a fire. But what you're about to hear, you're going to hear the actual crackling of the fire. I wasn't standing that close, but I still had to wear the gear because it was so hot. Mm. The flames got to be, I would say, easily 20 feet tall. So they're dealing with a real situation here. Well, not real, but, you know.
But as real as it can get, yeah.
As real as it can safely get for high school students. And so I even had the coat on and the helmet, and I didn't have to wear the oxygen mask, but you're going to hear a lot of beeping, and that is from those oxygen tanks. If they stay too still, they make a sound. So bear with us on the audio here for a moment. You're also going to hear the students using the fire hoses to extinguish the fire. And they split up into two groups. One was the group that was trying to preserve this big structure that's supposed to be a house. And the fire that they're actually fighting is a shed that's next to the house that's on fire. So first of all, they're trying to protect the house so it doesn't catch fire. And then they're also trying to put the fire out in the shed. And then they had this heat sensing camera that the kids got to wave around the embers to see if there was still going to be heat. Because what was really surprising about the day was once it looked like the fire was out, it could just relight. Yeah.
Always got to be on your guard.
So in this clip, you're also going to hear, we spoke to the fire chief, Bill Stoner, who is on the scene. And then you'll hear from some of the students who took part.
So this group has never worked together in this situation like this. What this group has done to come together and work in a unified fashion like they did is really incredible. It's a great group.
Would you want them as your recruits?
I want them as my recruits, absolutely. Yes, we're hoping to see them all again in a couple, 3 years. So.
What was it like the first time you put on your uniform,
buddy? I think when we first got here and put it on, we're like, oh, this is so cool. Like, looks so cool. And we were like, we didn't know what we were getting into.
Yeah.
Then once you just walk a few steps and you feel that heat start to build, all that insulation.
How do you think it's going so far?
Oh, it's going great. It's been so fun, like, learning, like, new things, like, being able to like, know what they have to go through to be able to put, like, a fire out.
I think it's cool that this year we actually get to fight real fires, because my brother did this 2 years ago and they weren't actually allowed to fight like actual fires, so I think we're getting pretty lucky with this experience. And it feels so legit, like obviously there are people here that if it got out of control, like there's actual firefighters, so it wouldn't be the end of the world, but it feels like we're really doing it just like by ourselves, and it's like exhilarating, it's cool.
And it's something I'd consider as a future job in the future, just even trying out, like, a volunteer.
My grandfather and grandmother were, like, volunteer firefighters up in, like, Cannon Lake, and my grandpa talked to me about thinking about doing, like, volunteer firefighting one day, and I was, like, always like, oh, yeah, maybe, but then this is, like, having me really seriously consider it. Yeah.
Yeah, what do you think he would think of this experience for you?
I don't know if he knows yet that I'm doing this, so I think he'd be super excited to know that I'm like actually getting real experience in like fighting real fires, cutting real cars open, and working alongside actual firefighters.
All right, the next big piece of news that we want to share with you is sports. It's a really good year for Squamish MMA. So many of you probably heard that Cole Smith signed to the UFC. We also have more news on that front because another Squamish mixed martial artist is also going to a higher level. Jamie Lynn Horth, many of you guys know her as the first BFL, at least the first local female BFL champion to really make waves from town. She is signing to a new league called TKO MMA. Mm-hmm. And TKO MMA is kind of a big deal. It's not quite the UFC, but it's a big deal in the sense that it has often served as a stepping stone for some really, really high-profile fighters to then jump into the UFC. Anyone who is a fan of, you know, Canadian legend George St. Pierre, he was originally started up in TKO MMA, which is actually a Montreal production. There's a little bit of a backstory about why Horth left Battlefield Fight League, which was the arena where she was previously competing. I'll let her explain a little bit of that.
Battlefield let me out of my contract knowing that they couldn't find me anybody. And I know firsthand that TKO has two women currently in my weight category and are able to get other girls in. There's some other girls coming in from Russia and Sweden this next fight card to fight as well.
With respect to your upcoming fight, how are you feeling about that?
I'm feeling great. I'm really excited. I've always been like a high level competing athlete, so I know what it takes to be at that level. And you know, when I'm not competing, I'm still always training. I'm always trying to get better. I'm always mindful of what I put into my body, so I'm always ready to go. So this short notice fight is great. I'm really excited about it. I've been able to just spend this next 4 weeks. You know, I got 10 days left. Just diving right in, tuning things up, and just gearing ready to go.
I'm wondering, is there any change to how you feel or how you're approaching this fight now that you're in a different league, or is it kind of a business as usual sort of thing?
You know, it is. It's business as usual. Our kind of motto through our gym and with our active fighters is, you know, it's just another day. Same thing, just another day, another platform. We're all going in with the same outlook. We're just going to go in and we're going to pick apart and win these fights.
Jamelyn Horth will be fighting her first match in the TKO MMA League on May 24th at Centre Robert Guétin in Gatineau, Quebec. The fight starts at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time. All right, now we're going to go over to our editor's pick, where we bring in our editor, Jennifer Thuncher. She's going to tell us about what she believes to be the issue or story of the week.
Hey, Stephen.
Hey.
Hey. So this week, you and I headed out to Fisherman's Park in Brackendale to meet up with District of Squamish David Ralston to talk about the dike that's being constructed out there. And the first part, let's just listen to this.
All right, let's.
There was poop.
You're like the poop magnet.
Yeah, I know.
Ha ha. Okay, but on a more serious note, one of the things that was interesting is when you're standing on the dike and you look out, there's an area where there's a barn to the right of the dike, and then to the left of the dike is this open area that is the same size as the barn. So what Mr. Ralston was explaining to us was that because they didn't have bylaws in place at the time, the barn could be almost up against the dike, meaning that now when they do work, they have to make that equal space on the other side of the dike.
Sounds a little
awkward.
If that
makes sense. Yeah. So that got him to talking about what they're planning to do in the future. And so we'll let him tell the rest.
That highlights one thing that we are doing with our floodplain bylaw is establishing setbacks from the dike to prevent that sort of thing from happening in the future. It's much more difficult to remove riprap.
Place fill on the river side of the dike and then replace the riprap. So it's much easier to be expanding dikes landward than closer to the river.
So was that built when this dike was here and it was allowed to be at the time that close?
Yes, because
or it went the other way?
Because for a couple of reasons. One, and the first and foremost, is that we didn't have a right-of-way.
All right.
And so it's on private land, and we didn't have a floodplain bylaw is the other thing. So those are two things that have been addressed as we've acquired a statutory right-of-way, and we've adopted a floodplain bylaw.
Wow, that's interesting. Yeah, so now you have to go a barn length.
Yeah, and we're going to have to do that for some other sections of the dike as well through Brackendale, where you know development's been there for 30 years or longer. And we just don't have the space to expand the dike landward.
Yeah.
Where it gets really tricky is where the dike is between the river and a property.
Right.
And so that's where some very creative solutions are going to have to be.
And that's you're thinking of spots in Brackendale particularly, or just around the district?
Brackendale, there's sections of sea dike where that issue is present as well, so it's widespread.
Okay, well, so that seemed very complicated and lengthy.
Pregnant pause.
Yes, pregnant.
Pregnant pause. So we have a lot more on this in a video that we've put together that'll be up online, and a story as well. So check out the print edition coming up next week and online for our masterful video.
Masterful.
And thanks to David. He, you know, a lot of the people at the district, we asked them a lot of dumb questions. So it was great that he could come out and show us, because it makes it much more interesting for the readers and so that we understand better. So thanks, David.
All right.
The Squamish Sound is brought to you by the Squamish Chief. The music for this episode was produced by Stephen Chua, cover photo by Clayton Matthews. Have a story tip? Give us a call at 604-892-9161. Send an email to news@squamishchief.com. You can read these stories and more online at squamishchief.com, the newspaper, and have the news delivered to your door every week.